You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is the Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. I'm Jenna Bosgarden, Manager of Digital Marketing.
And I'm Ashley Lecomte-Lozich, Head of R&D for Smart Equine. Coming up on today's show, we're talking about preparing for winter. In and around the barn, something that is very timely for my 5-to-9 before my 9-to-5.
And then we'll be chatting with Randy Roddy from Customer Care about her horses before we get into our giveaway. So stick around. We've got a lot of good stuff for you today.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
Okay, so I have been wanting to put off this episode over and over again, but it is finally cold enough here where I'm at in New England that I can sadly delay it no longer. Today we are bundling up and we are diving into winter barn prep. So we're going to talk about how to keep your horses safe, how to keep your barn running smoothly, and hopefully keep yourself from freezing your fingers off.
Yeah, so like Jenna, I am also in denial, but some quick notes into like, why does this matter? One, cold weather is more than just an inconvenience for riders and owners. There's a lot of hidden dangers that we don't necessarily think about, like frozen pipes, slippery footing, poor ventilation for horses with respiratory issues, even fire hazards just from trying to stay warm. So while we can't keep the cold entirely at bay, what we can do is offer some ideas to help take that bite out of the winter's worst. So let's dig in.
Perfect. All right. So I think step number one, we got to review like what are the factors that contribute to winter barn safety? And I know that you've got your boarding facility with a bunch of horses and a bunch of horse owners who care about them very, very much. So kind of like what you were mentioning before, what is it that you're looking for when you're going into winter to make sure that you hope and think things are going to run okay this season?
Yeah. So like the first big category is like doing your safety checks. Like I would say like make a checklist for your full barn inspection. And that's where I start. So the first place to look is like, obviously, what is one thing that is important for every living being is your water. So making sure that your water sources are considered, period. So whether that looks like checking your pipes, your spigots, your automatic waterers, making sure that your horses are going to have water. Like I'm on a well. So part of that for me is making sure that I have a generator in the, so when my power goes out, I have no water. So making sure that you have like your generator ready for your well pump. So big to do here, making sure that your drain is ready to go. One thing that'll happen when you have snow melt is the runoff creates a lot more water than you're used to. So Everything water, inspecting everything related to water before it freezes and giving your buckets and your troughs and your auto waterers a good scrub because it's going to get really tough to do that in the snowy winter time. So yeah, that's the first place we start.
Yeah, I think the scrubbing call out's a really solid one too, because it's one thing to go and check. Like we theoretically know where all those pieces are, but the final scrub, like, and I'm sure people are like,
it sounds so ominous.
The final scrub.
Final scrub. It feels like I do this where like there are certain things in my house that I'll clean out too, where it's like the last time and I'll push it off and I'll push it off. And I'm like, no, it's finally going to get too cold where it's not going to feel good on my hands to clean it out anymore. So for anybody who's like, I don't know. Maybe I can still wait. This is like November. So I encourage anybody who has not done the final scrub to maybe consider doing that this week and weekend.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm doing it with my own life. My husband's like having the car detailed today. And I'm like, we're preparing to have like 6 months of like low productivity in terms of cleaning. Yep. But like that's how it's going to be at the barn too, right? Like we're going to be stuck in a repetitive weather cycle that's here for like quite some time. So making sure that you're getting things into a place where they're all functional and you're also preparing for what's going to happen if they're not functional. So having a backup plan in the event that you lose access to water or you have a pipe that breaks, know who your plumber is. Like your plumber on staff, know like post their number somewhere, have them on the ready. Hopefully your pipes and everything are, in good condition, but inspect them, have somebody out, help you take a look, like your spigots, if you can have like a drip for spigots that are on like outward facing walls that are going to be more apt to freezing, you know, keep them on a slow drip, like your sinks keep on a slow drip too in the bathroom, things like that.
Yeah, that's super, super good too. And something that I kind of thought of as you were going through this is like the water troughs and everything. I mean, pipes and things are mostly inside, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of indoor things to think about. But a lot of the troughs and like the big buckets that we keep out in pastures, those are your outdoor things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you had mentioned this earlier, like before we were even recording, with fencing and like what you guys do for winter fencing. Can you get into that a little bit too?
So we have PVC. Okay. And it gets very brittle in the wintertime. So like if you have a piece of PVC that's down or in bad condition, the odds of it like shattering are a little bit higher just because it gets so brittle in the cold. So like now is the time to replace those fence posts that have been kicked or, you know, come undone. Don't wait until the wintertime when it actually breaks, because those shards are like a accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, those are pretty much weapons.
And a puncture wound in the winter when, I know, like you never want to deal with that, but having to like cold hose things, it's just a disaster. So fix the fencing now. If you don't have PVC and you have wood fencing, it may not be as much of a threat, but it's still, you don't want to be dragging pieces out there in 4 feet of snow trying to replace your fence board. So pay attention to that now and make sure that you're taking a look at where your horses are going to be spending time outside, because we know already that the footing is going to degrade as the snow and ice come in their turnout spaces. So it may not be that they're horsing around out there. It could just be that they literally slip and fall into a fence. So yeah. You know, make sure that you're keeping as much attention on their outside environment as you are on their inside environment.
Yeah. And I think part of that too, that I think most of us know this, but still just to call it out, is like with the outdoor environment too, like you mentioned water being super important and that sometimes the runoff and the melt can be more than we expect it to be. So on the same line of like, if you're walking your fences, if you're checking your troughs, also looking for where water is piling up now, because that's where ice is going to show up possibly later. So just another note for those outdoor features, right?
That is great. And I couldn't agree with you more. Not only where the water is pooling up is going to be ice, but it's also going to be mud. So we see that. We deal with this every year. And it's not just in the wintertime. It's typically like high rains in the spring and in the fall mm-hmm. and during transitions. But what's tough about it is that in the winter, unlike fall or spring, when you get a lot of rain in the winter, you can almost do nothing about it until the ground thaws. So like True. If you want to change your limestone base or add limestone, add gravel, places where you're going to see this are like in and out of the pasture, near the auto waterers, near the run-in, sometimes in the run-in, we have hay huts where we put our round bales outside, around the hay hut gets really muddy. So mm-hmm. places where they're gathering consistently, now is a great time to add some more limestone, add a little gravel. There's some really cool footing systems out there, like lattice.
Yes. There's a rescue I've worked with that does that around all of their hay structures outside. And those have been really, really helpful.
Yeah, they work really well to help mitigate mud. And as we've talked, you know, in previous episodes, mud can be difficult for maintaining skin and coat health. It can also mm-hmm. like deep mud can be really dangerous for soft tissue injuries. So it's definitely important to keep a lookout now on what those high risk areas are for mud and ice and try to improve the footing the best you can today. So definitely something to consider there as well.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up the mud too, because like in New England, we get a lot of freezing, right? But not everywhere is New England. So there's going to be a lot of places that get cold that turns more mud than ice. So that was a really good call out for folks that are down south being like, I've never seen a frozen lake in my life. What are you doing to help me? So thank you for calling that out. That was awesome.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So I think that covers a lot of the outdoor things. We might come back to it if there's stuff that we've forgotten, but I know there's more inside that we probably should talk about. And you mentioned it with like ventilation for horses with respiratory issues and stuff like that, right?
Yep. So, I mean, this can really look different depending on how your barn operates. For us, we are a heated facility. So every time I see like a window or a door open, or even like over the course of a summer, you know, someone runs into a door, kicks a door, and now we have like a 1/4-inch gap around mm-hmm, this.
That little bend.
I can like see my money just flying out the window. And then every time I get the gas bill, I cry a little bit because I'm mm-hmm. like, like it's something as simple as like closing the doors after every horse when you're leading them out to
leaving the doors open for the 20 minutes it takes to do turnout.
Doors, windows, ventilation, something to consider. So even if you're not a heated facility and you're not concerned about losing money, you're still concerned about keeping the barn nice and toasty as best that you can. Mm-hmm. So checking for seals around the doors, making sure that you have seals around your windows. And it may be that you have a nice 35, 40 degree day where you want to keep the windows open and help to air out the farm. Amazing. But what you also want to make sure is when you have sideways sleet coming in, that you're able to completely seal everything up for those moments to prevent the horses and their environment from getting soaking wet.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm probably not the only person who had a dad tell them throughout the winter, like, what are you trying to heat the whole neighborhood? Maybe, you don't know. But
what, were you raised in a barn? And I'm like, yeah. And you literally raised me in it. So you should know, Dad. You were there. Barn.
But yeah, I think there's something to that, that when you open that door, hear your dad or your barn manager, whoever it is in the back of your mind, being like, are we trying to heat the paddocks too now? Like, just close the door behind you when you can, closing the windows when you can. I think that's one that's easy to forget for the sake of convenience, but worth remembering for the sake of keeping the horses, you know, at a consistent temperature and keeping your barn manager from crying many tears.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. And like I said, like, you know, on the nice toasty days when the heaters are off, I say toasty, like above
freezing. You know, the 45 degree warm winter days when we can all throw our windows open.
Exactly. So, you know, it does tend to get a little stuffy in there sometimes. So on the nice days, it's important to be able to open up the barn and get some cross ventilation. But it's also important to know that when it's time to seal it up, you can.
Yeah. And I think with that, too, knowing that your barn's going to be sealed, this is maybe a little bit less winter focused and more just like barn management focused. But like, if you have the opportunity to pick your horse a stall a little bit more, do that. Keep the air as clean as you possibly can. Help everybody out as much as you can. If you need to go shake your blankets out, please do it outside. Like, whatever's going to keep the air inside breathable and comfortable for everybody, both temperature wise and just quality of air wise, is a big thing for it for sure.
I agree, which means that now is a great time to blow out your rafters and get all the dust out today, right? So that you're not having to do that in the wintertime. So mitigating dust before the barn gets sealed up for the winter is a great chance to get all the cobwebs and dust out of the rafters like now while you still have the opportunity of nice 50 degree days. So then you're left with a nice, tidy, lower dust winter barn.
Yeah, that's a great call. So I know we've talked about this a little bit in the previous episode about like barn safety and fire safety, and you are super on top of it with like electrical cords and heaters and stuff like that. I have to assume you are equally on top of it for winter preparation.
In the summer, obviously, we have fans in every stall, but in the winter, things are changing. Now we're going to bucket heaters and we're going to space heaters. And so things are just a little bit different. So the first thing I would always recommend to do is, and this is something that everyone can do regardless of your circumstance, making sure that all of your outlets and cords are rated for outdoor use.
Yes.
Like I had mentioned in barn fire prevention episode, even though the barn is inside, I still consider it an outdoor facility. Mm-hmm. So it is not like the inside of your home. So make sure that everything is outside. It will at some point likely be exposed to some element or another. So make sure it's rated for outdoor use. And then the best thing you can do besides that is keeping tabs on where they all live and inspecting them on a regular basis, making sure that there's no damage, that there's no exposed wires or, you know, frayed extension cords. That's the best thing that you can do. And everyone can do that. The next thing is like, what do you allow in your barn in terms of things that you can bring to plug in that may be a hazard? So in our situation, we're a heated facility, so there's not a ton of need for bucket heaters or space heaters because we're keeping everything above freezing anyways. But in scenarios where it is necessary, again, making sure that things are plugged directly into outlets. One of the main causes of fires that are associated with space heaters and other personal heating devices are that they're like plugged into extension cords. You cannot do that. Have to plug space heaters directly into the wall. No power strip, no extension cord, directly into the wall.
I might have to quick unplug something from my office. That in your home, in unrelated your barn, to what you've just said.
Everywhere. It's like even on the little warning tag that is attached. Like, do not ever plug a space heater into anything except for a direct outlet into the wall.
Crazy. That's really good information.
Do your best. I mean, that one, like, I can't, I'm like getting hyper about this because it's so preventable.
Yeah.
Like, just plug it directly into a wall. If you have to use it, plug it into a wall. The other thing that I would always recommend is if you have to use it, unplug it before you leave. You know, if your hands are freezing and you need to clean your saddle and you're going to turn on your space heater for a couple hours while you sit in your tack room and clean, amazing. Unplug it before you leave for the night and, you know, take it home with you. Or as I know, Jenna, you mentioned you had to like, you had to truck through the snow out to like a cinder block shed and put your space
heater. I was just going to say that because we had wood floors in our tack room, which was great. But for everybody's peace of mind, we had an old carriage barn that was pretty much cinder block, all of it except for the roof. So everybody kept space heaters and things. If they were not in use in that moment, that's where they lived because it gave everybody, especially our wonderful bar manager who cared very, very much, a nice deep breath. And she deserved that every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, removing the points of failure as much as you can, I think is the best way to approach this. And then in terms of like heated, like bucket heaters, again, something I think some people probably leave them plugged in. Water elements and electricity just make me so uneasy.
I get nervous about it.
I get nervous. This just feels so against the rules. And I know that that's what they're designed for. But if you can use things like insulated bucket covers, shameless product plug, you know,
I will say it super clearly. The SmartPak insulated water bucket cover is actually very dope. And I firmly believe in it myself. It has also good reviews. So it's not just me saying this. Do recommend checking that one out.
One option that you may have, and it depends on what type of auto water you have, typically running water does not freeze as easily. So having like a trickle or having your auto waterers running, and it's typically, it can be recycling the same water, but just to keep it moving so that
that's smart.
Lower chance of freezing. So an option that you can use there too. So when you need to use personal devices, my go-to is always to supervise them and then unplug them.
Absolutely. And so that's the outdoor, that's the troughs, that's the fencing, that's inside with electrical and keeping water unfrozen. And now like the in-between spaces. So like when you're leading your horse in and out and all those very heavily trafficked spots that get icy and muddy for folks. I mean, rubber mats, I feel like, are kind of the standard go-to, but what else is there that we can do?
Yeah. So rubber mats, yes, but also making sure your rubber mats are in good condition. So ours, we're actually replacing ours right now. We're shopping around for new rubber mats because ours were initially like pleated. I don't know if that's the right word, but
they have like the texture on them, right?
They have texture on them. Yes, exactly. So they are non-slip. And over time, those have kind of rubbed off and the rubber mats have started to bubble in different places. And so they were designed to help prevent tripping and slipping. And now they're presenting their own trip hazards. So we're about to replace our rubber mats as we head into the winter. So not just having them, but making sure that they're actually doing their jobs is really important. Yeah. And then outside in your gravel or grass pathways, however your horses are getting to and from pasture, you can use salt. You can use sand. I think it depends on, you know, what the sub, if you have grass there, I think that sand is supposed to be a little bit less detrimental to like the growth of the grass in the springtime. So however you want to do it, sand or salt to prevent the ice. And then you have your arena. So.
Oh, sure.
Which like you don't think about indoor arena care changing in the wintertime, but it does.
Yeah. So
again, we have a heated indoor. But suppose.
Also, just to clarify, when you say heated, what are you guys heating it to? I just want to make sure people don't think that you're putting out like a Miami Beach level barn situation.
85 degrees. We ride in our swimsuits. I mean, the barn stays at like 40 to 45. The indoor, because it's so large, we heat it as needed. So it's like turn on the heaters and when you arrive, go tack up and then come on in. I would say that it's above freezing. I know that for certain. Perfect. Because we still water it in the wintertime. But a really cool thing. Okay. Here's my surprise.
Okay.
Guess what you put in to your sand to prevent it from freezing?
We know I'm never going to guess it.
You're
teasing me with this since Monday.
You're going to guess. You have to take one guess. Without giving it away, what would Ashley say?
What would you say? Is it magnesium?
It's magnesium.
What? No, you're messing with me.
Jenna, I can't make this up. I swear. What can't magnesium do? Ashley maybe is working for Big Magnesium. I don't know. So
we're going to get you a t-shirt with that.
We have to. Of all the things, I cannot stop talking about magnesium. So we know that it does amazing, great things as a feed-through supplement. Magnesium also, and specifically magnesium chloride, you put it in your arena and it actually, so it's a humectant, which one attracts and retains moisture from the air. So it's okay. going to keep your footing from drying out, and it will actually change the freezing point. It lowers the freezing point, which gives you a little bit more buffer there, and you're going to prevent the surface from freezing solid. And it also, that same like hygroscopic function of the humectant also binds to dust particles. So it helps to keep the dust down.
Clever.
So if you can, go to your Google machine and type in mag flakes, and you go look for your magnesium chloride, and then you write down what can't magnesium do in your notebook, and you have a much better winter. So yes, that was the thing that I was so excited about telling
that
you.
That is wild. I'm looking you in the face and seeing your excitement, I was not going to guess that on my own.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think I'm going to name my second child magnesium or something.
I look forward to the naming ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, listen, magnesium is really cool. So this is particularly magnesium chloride functions in this way. It's really cool. So that is one thing that you can do particularly.
It just integrates with your dust, your footing, whatever, your sand, whatever it is you're using. It integrates fine, and it can drag fine, and it can water fine, all of that.
Yep. So you just mix it in. And I mean, obviously, depending on the size of your arena, the type of footing, you will, you know, want to get an expert opinion from whomever you go to for your footing needs to help you understand the ratio and how much you should be putting in. But yep, you just dump it right in. You use your regular drag to drag it into the footing. And then that humectant quality of it is going to attract moisture, hold it in, and it's going to help to keep the dust down. And then it also is going to create this like brine solution when it's mixed with water, which lowers the freezing point. So very cool.
Oh, it's cool.
I know. We love it.
All right. All right. That was worth the wait.
Yeah. We're very excited about magnesium chloride. Amazing. okay. So consider that if you cannot heat your indoor, because it's going to help you to prevent ice in the event that you need to water your arena, but that hygroscopic mechanism should also help keep the dust down. So it's a win-win-win, the best thing that you could possibly do for your indoor. Also remembering that your indoor is going to get a lot more use in the wintertime. So even if you have outdoor riding spaces, they're probably not getting a lot of attention in the winter. So you're going to have more riders in the indoor and more dust being kicked up into the air. So it's a great, great option.
Yeah. Okay. So talking about dragging the arena and doing all the maintenance on it takes us to the next logical conclusion, which is the equipment we use to drag it.
Yeah.
I know you got thoughts on that.
I sure do. So, I mean, whatever you use to drag your arena and or to do your farm chores. So whether it's like moving your round bales or, you know, bringing those PVC pieces out to fix your fence, whatever machinery is, whether it's an ATV or a UTV or a tractor or your truck, whatever it is, make sure that that product is in great usable repair right now. If it needs an oil change, do it now. If it needs new tires, do it now. Because the worst thing that can possibly happen is to have the first snow dump and then wake up the next morning and find out that the tractor isn't working or the plow doesn't fit on your new, you know, shiny John Deere UTV. Whatever it is, do a test run like right now and make sure that your plow attachments work, your drags are in good repair. You're not needing to purchase something new because it's just a pain in the butt to get it done in the wintertime. So
yeah,
like,
and I would say with spring that cleaning, too. Making sure that anybody who would be using those pieces of equipment with any kind of regularity is up to date on it. If you've gotten something new, if they haven't done it in a hot minute, just make sure that everybody feels good beforehand. Because like you said, you get, you know, dumped with 3 to 4 feet of snow overnight. You want to make sure that whoever has to go fire it all up feels good about it.
Yep. And I mean, something as simple as my trainer just bought a new truck. And apparently the size of the hitch box that the trailer hitch goes into, the receiver box changed. So her old hitch did not fit into the new box, which she found out when she was trying to hook up. So like, don't try it all now, right? Just do a little test run. Make sure that the trailer hitch or the drag receiver, whatever it is all ready and you have it all tied up in a pretty shiny bow so that day one that you need to go out and plow, you have everything ready to go. That would
be. Yeah, we talked about fire drills in the past. Let's also introduce the
snow drills.
Snow drills.
I love it.
Okay, so I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like we've covered a lot of good stuff for like barn care, barn maintenance, and all of that, which I think gives us some time and room to move into the other very important part, which is staying warm for horses and for people. And these, I think, are a little bit more personal for some folks. Like, I know some people are going to want to do certain things one way versus the other. So as always, our disclaimer is like, do what works for you and your horse, but here are thoughts and ideas that we have. And the first one I have is, we talked about space heaters a little bit. So just one more time, harping in on that, if you're using a space heater for your personal heating, for cleaning tack, for wiping down your bit, for whatever it is. Just make sure that whoever it is that manages the property, whether it's you or somebody else, feels good about how they're being utilized, whether they need to go somewhere else, whether they need to be, you know, turned off and stored differently. Just really want to hone in on that because it makes a lot of people, I think, rightly nervous. So make sure everybody's on the same page with if and how you do use those.
Yep, totally agree. And also one thing that I forgot to mention before is a lot of, and maybe all of, I'm not quite sure, but I think the majority of space heaters that are being sold now have like a tip over turn off. So make sure when you're shopping for a space heater, it's like a little button on the bottom so that if the space heater somehow were to fall on its face on top of a saddle pad or whatever, it automatically turns off so that if for some reason it shouldn't be left unattended, but if it was, there's an automatic shut off there to help prevent accidents.
Yeah, because sometimes you walk away for a second and the barn cat comes in and causes chaos. Like,
exactly.
Life happens. Yep. So being able to prepare for that in any way, shape, or form, always good. That's a great note. So that's kind of for us, for horses who cannot, or I kind of think should not maybe, have heaters in their stalls all the time. We usually are relying on blankets, right? And I know that blanketing, as somebody who runs our social media, I'm very aware that blanketing is a very personal and much debated topic. But for people who use blankets, what is it that you're looking for as a barn owner before you go into blanketing season?
Yeah, I send mine out for cleaning like in the spring. So as soon as they come off and we take all of them home, they go out for cleaning and repair, right? Because sometimes they're going to be, even the best blankets get tears in them sometimes.
Yeah.
So making sure that they are clean, that they are dry. A wet horse with a blanket on top of them, yikes. So
the amount of things that can happen from that.
I know. So not ideal. So making sure that they are clean, that they are dry, that they are repaired if they have any holes in them, and that, of course, that they fit properly. That's a huge one. And do that now. So before you need them, whether it's your turnout blankets or your stable blankets, bring them all down to the barn. Make sure that they are in good condition, that toss them on, make sure that they fit, and then hope that we don't need to use them for a couple more weeks.
And even your coolers and your quarter sheets and things like that, same rules apply. Like, just make sure, who knows, maybe you and your horse have gotten so fit that his booty no longer fits under that quarter sheet the way it used to. And you realize that riding him in a mini skirt is not going to be very helpful. So any and all things that you can do just to make sure your winter prep is truly prepped, very worthwhile doing. And I'll shameless plug, I hope maybe this is the last time, who knows, I talk a lot. We do have the Smart Equine Ultimate Turnout Blankets. They come with a 10-year warranty on them. They're super durable. They're super waterproof. And I have to give them a shout out because, as we talked with Meg a couple weeks ago on the podcast, they're super redesigned this year. So gigantic gussets, great freedom of movement, really, really nice materials. And if you're like, well, my horse isn't a blanket destroyer, I don't need to do that. Dope. Neither was mine. He lived in a deluxe turnout for years with no issues. Like, even going that step down, great product, great quality. So if you're looking for a blanket, give our customer care a call or head to the website. I really do love them. I've used them myself for a lot of years. So just worth me giving that one very, very salesy pitch on the podcast. Sorry, everybody. Okay.
No, don't be sorry. I'm also just like, I've heard this every day that I've worked here about the, 10 years is like a third of our life. This is the longest warranty ever. That is such a long time. So amazing. Yes. Love that.
And I was here when we first introduced it, and I was like, this is a joke. We're not actually guaranteeing these for 10. No, we guarantee these for 10 years. We're not messing around.
Yeah. So that's amazing. So select a good blanket that fits your horse. If you have one from last season, make sure that it's clean, that it's dry, the hardware is replaced, that it still fits. Potentially your horse has changed shape. And that goes for like your stable blanket quarter sheet, like Jenna said. And then for those people who may not want to blanket their horses, or you have some horses that live outside, and in some instances, it's safer to keep them naked so that they don't have a risk of snagging it out in the wilderness or wherever they're riding. The best thing that you can do for those horses is to let their coat grow in nice and thick. Don't do anything to it, and then feed them as much hay as possible. We talked about this in the last episode, I think, when we were talking about different forms of energy recruitment and the exothermic reaction that is caused by the bacterial fermentation in the hindgut and the breakdown process of that long stem forage. So it just takes longer and more energy for the body to do this. So we're releasing that heat. Exothermic means we're releasing heat when this process is happening, and it's going to help to keep them warmer. So as much hay as possible in front of them. Amazing. It doesn't even have to be high quality hay. In fact, if your horse is super fat, it could be low quality hay. It's just long stem forage, the best thing that you can do for them. So the winter is certainly not the time to be rationing their hay. And if they are consuming a lot and you see that they're gaining weight and you don't like it, you can always soak their hay. They're still getting the forage and you're reducing the sugar content. You can put it in a slow feed hay bag, slow feed hay pillow. So just make sure that they have access to as much forage as possible all the time. And for horses that are out in our pasture, like I said, we have hay huts and we're replacing those round bales constantly. And like you look out into the pasture in the summer and the horses are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you look out into the pasture in the winter and there's two hay huts and it's just like a bunch of like, it's just black. There's like little bay bodies all around and they live in those hay huts. They are eating hay all the time to the point where we have a massive three-sided run-in shelter and they will still choose to stand out in the snow and eat the hay because they are warmer eating than they are inside of a building. So like always provide them as much hay as possible.
You said it, and I just want to reiterate the exact line that you said, that winter is not the time to limit forage. And I know for folks that board and keep their horses inside, like throwing flakes every couple of hours can feel like you're throwing money directly into a pit, but like it's how your horse stays warm. Also your horse is inside pretty much all the time, boring as heck. So just trying to temper the knowledge that hay is not cheap with the fact that this is what your horse genuinely needs to stay comfortable and happy throughout the season.
Yep. Yep. I totally agree. And one thing that I'll add to this too, and it's not even so much as like keeping the horses warm, but also preparing for potential fiascos that we can't anticipate. In Illinois, and I don't know what things are like up by you, Jenna, but in Illinois, we have this tendency to get what the meteorologists like to call polar vortexes.
We call them nor'easters, but real similar.
So like horror story, negative 20 blizzard conditions. So we do have horses that live on pasture 24/7. Mm-hmm. And typically they do pretty well. But in the event that things are so intense that we don't even feel that it's appropriate for them to be outside in it, like sideways sleet, hail. We also want to make sure that we're keeping everything in the barn super tidy. That includes the indoor arena, any empty stalls, the aisleways. So in the event that there is some type of severely hazardous weather, we can bring those pasture horses into the barn and give them some type of shelter. So that's really important. So if your run-in right now is housing hay bales, or you're using, you know, extra stall to store your wheelbarrows and pitchforks, maybe consider clearing that out just to have an emergency space for a horse in need. If you have that scenario, maybe this is a personal bias because this has happened to us before, but we have a cute little group of mini ponies in the area that are therapeutic ponies, like the same way you would have like a seeing eye dog.
That's
and they
so
go to
sweet.
Hospitals. Okay, they're incredible. And one year we had to bring them into the barn and like put like two or three of them in a stall because we were having a polar vortex. They needed somewhere to go. So
no, I mean, it's happened to us too, where our lesson ponies lived in their own little barn. They were very happy there, but I think it was two of the windows shattered and it was, like you said, sideways sleet. And like, there's not a lot you can do about that in the middle of winter. So we thankfully had some empty stalls and we paired them up because the stalls were much bigger than what they were used to. And there were still two ponies that we had to rope off a section of the aisle and throw down rubber mats last minute and throw down a whole bunch of sawdust and just put them up where they could be safe and warm. And it's not anybody's ideal, but I think, like you said, just knowing if there are stalls that can be cleared out, if there's a closet that you're like, I can put a bunch of stuff in here so I can fit a pony somewhere else just in case, I think it's worth just keeping it in the back of your mind if nothing else.
Yep.
And so with all of that, with keeping creatures warm, I'll do just a brief hit on like, make sure you're keeping yourself warm too. We don't need to necessarily have forage in front of us at all times, but I know that I feel better with food in my stomach before I go to the barn personally, but also just layering. Please, please, please take your own health and warmth and safety very seriously too. Layer with like those moisture wicking layers. Check your gloves now, just the way you're checking your horse's blankets. There's nothing worse than putting on your super heavy duty work winter gloves and then finding out the wrong way that there's a hole and now your pinky is very, very cold for no reason. So really just being cautious because, yes, we care about our horses first and foremost, but your horse relies on you, which means you should also care about you and how you fare throughout the winter.
Amen. And I'm glad you took that piece because I don't fare well through the winter. I'm a very fair weather friend. I'm a very fair weather rider. I usually duck south to Florida for the winter. This year, I will be here sticking around. So Jenna, I'm going to be calling you help on how to navigate like my first snowfall.
I mean, I'm a weirdo. I love the snow. I love winter, minus the darkness. I am aware that that is just devastating for all of us. But like, yeah, come at me with winter stuff. I love playing in the snow.
I love this. So you're going to be my seasonal depression go-to when I need a little pick me up.
It'll be great. Yeah. And invest right now for anybody out there. You're like, I'll be fine. Just have hand warmers on hand. Yeah. Just make sure you have fuzzy socks. Everybody likes fuzzy socks. There's no harm in having them. So just my 2 cents.
No, I agree with you. I'm going to have to do a little bit of shopping for a new Carhartt coveralls. Oh, boy.
Worth it. So worth it. Have a good pair of coveralls, too.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned emergency preparedness in terms of like in the event of a blizzard, bringing horses inside. But a couple of things I want to touch on there, too, is I know in the barn fire episode, we talked about like having a sheet accessible with the names of vets and farriers and barn managers.
Laminated.
Exactly. Laminated where conspicuously found. So make sure that that's available. It probably doesn't hurt to have everyone at the barn know where your backup generator is. If you have one, what is the plan in the event that the power goes out? You know, where the circuit board is, if you have to turn off the circuit board. So just understand having a lay of the land so that everyone feels confident and helpful. There's some days where the barn manager isn't there and it's all boarders. So, and again, if you own your own barn, you know, you're in charge of your own destiny if it's just you and your horses, but making sure that you have a plan for what to do. A couple of years ago, now this wasn't in the winter, but a couple of years ago, our well pump, we lost power. Our well pump went out. We did not have a generator yet.
Oof.
I cannot make this up. We had to buy an above ground pool and we had the fire department come to the barn and fill up the above ground pool with water. And
like then whole family can swim in it above ground pool.
Yep. And then we had to bucket. I mean, it didn't have like a pump. The size, right?
Yeah.
An above ground pool filled with water from the fire department and then bucket water to the horses. It was out for days. We thought it was going to be hours, maybe a day at best. Whatever had happened that year, they were not able to restore the power. It was out for almost a week and that was out. Ooh. So have a plan in mind. Obviously, if it had been winter, that would have added an incredibly complicated element to that. But these are things to think about. Obviously, don't panic about them, but just try to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G plans in the event that you do lose power or you do lose access to running water.
Yeah, I mean, A, what a nightmare. But B, what really clever problem solving.
It was not me. Don't give me any credit. It was my trainer. She is the brains behind a lot of the decisions.
Ashley's trainer, because that was genius.
Yeah, she's incredible. Thank you, Meredith. So that was her idea, and it was a great one. But again, probably wouldn't have worked out in the winter in the middle of a snowstorm. So, you know, just keep all of your planning open to and ask people for it. Look, I wouldn't have thought of that. So
yeah,
use your village.
Yeah. And I know I harp a lot on how New England is like old and nothing here is new. And it's my life. It's what I've lived. I think there's a lot of people who probably have not brand new barns. So something that was wonky for us was if it got below a certain temp, the lights wouldn't turn on. Everything else was working, but the lights were just like, nah, sorry. And so
you're doing it in the dark now.
Yeah, truly. And it's like, it's 3:45. So it's pitch black now. Good luck. And so we all got in a really good habit of keeping, you know, flashlights in our tack trunks, in our grooming trays and all of that. I think there was one actually by every entrance and exit door. So that way they kind of stayed with their barn because we had a couple different on the property. But one of the things that I personally converted to with help from my handyman father was headlamps. Mm. And I resisted for years. So I was like, those are stupid. When you're a teenager, you don't want to look stupid. Can't but the moment though. I was done, yeah, the moment I was done with the whole, like, how dumb do I look? I was like, wait, I can pick snow out of my horse's feet with just a headlamp. I can walk through the barn and like pick things up and move things around without that. So if you have not heard the good word of the headlamp, I do highly recommend having those in your car, in your tack trunk, and wherever it's convenient, because it makes winter barn time stuff so much better if you don't have lights or you don't have power or you just need more light wherever you're going.
Add to cart. I love that. In addition to your insulated bucket heaters, just add to cart, couple headlamps, stick them everywhere. I actually love that because you have two free hands. Very smart. Very smart. Life lessons from Jenna.
Always here to give tips and tricks that I've stolen from other people.
Love it. Yeah. So, I mean, just like the everyday habits that we're getting to, keeping your barn clutter-free, making sure that everything is stored in a safe manner. again, routine checking for anything that gets plugged in, turning off your lights, making sure your space heaters are unplugged, and then like training your staff and making sure your boarders are aware of what the safety expectations are. You know, sending out, I said it's like the opposite of spring cleaning, you know, sending out a winter prep email just to level set with everybody and let them know what the rules are, I think keeps everybody safer in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that covers a lot of it. I'm sure we've missed stuff. So if you guys have your own tips and tricks for weathering winter, please, please find us in the comments or on social media or anywhere else that you think of to find us. We will be there. Would love to hear it. But really just wanted to remind everybody, like, the kind of like my key takeaways from this conversation, you know, checking that barn infrastructure before the first freeze. So if you can do it now, do it now. When the weather does start to dip, making sure that water is flowing. So, you know, keeping the drips when you can, keeping footing safe with salt or sawdust or kitty litter or magnesium, if that's something that you can do. And then just keeping everybody warm as safely as possible, yourself, your horses. If you have little nuggets that you bring to the barn with you, just really keeping everybody toasty. And so I know for a lot of us that the worst is yet to come for the winter months. I'm right there alongside you. But I do hope that talking through some of this kind of gives some ideas or reminders on how to feel as ready as we can be for whatever winter has to bring for us this year.
And if you're looking for more information on how to keep your horse feeling better all winter long, I know we touched a little bit today on like forage, respiratory health, watering practices, but we're going to give you all of that and a lot more on our next episode, November 30th, which will be entirely devoted to winter horse health. So please submit any questions you have or any comments. If you listened to today and you had this burning question that we didn't get to, please submit them. And we'd love to talk about them on the next episode.
Now, let's meet the pack.
Okay, time for one of my favorite segments every time, which is Meet the Pack. And today we have a true treat. Randy Roddy from Customer Care is here with us. So Randy, would you give a brief intro, who you are, what you do here, and how many horses you have at home?
Oh, thanks, Jenna. I'm excited to be here. I am Randy Roddy, as you mentioned, with the Customer Care team. I've been with Customer Care almost 4 years in January. I have a 19-year-old quarter horse mare named Libby. And we do a little bit of everything, but predominantly dressage and Western dressage.
Love that. Okay, perfect. So we're going to jump into something fun here in a second, but I know we got to start out with a lead-in. So first of all, tell me about Libby, which is your quarter horse mare. I think you've had her for a super long time. And then do you have her on supplements? And if so, what ones?
Yes, I've had her for a very long time. I actually brought her up from my dad's when she was a 2-year-old.
Oh,
so I've had her. We've been together a very, very long time. We know each other in and out. Yes, of course, she's on supplements. I do work for a supplement company. She is currently on SmartFlex Ultimate for the added resveratrol and high hyaluronic acid. And then she's also on Smart Salt pellets year round because every horse should be on Smart Salt pellets.
Reach.
Or some type of salt if
yep.
they'll eat it. She's a picky eater, so I could not use
this
regular
salt. Oh, that's nice
that
one works for her then.
Oh, 100%. Love it. And then she's also on Smart Mare Harmony because, well, she's a girl.
Look, I wish I could be on Smart Mare Harmony, so I'm glad that she is.
Yes, I occasionally want to like chew on the pellets, so no lie there.
I believe it. And so that's a great, well-rounded smart pack that she has. Love that for her. But you also have a big focus in your horse life outside of just supplements and Libby in general. There's like a very specific thing that you care about and that we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to let you kind of start us off. I know it's hooves, but like what got you into hoof care?
Well, Libby got Perfect. Me into horse care, or hoof care rather, 3.5 years ago. She got Potomac horse fever.
Oh gosh.
With a laminitic episode.
Oh,
yes.
Horrible.
It was very traumatic for all of us.
Oh,
during that process, she was on stall rest for an extended period of time. She was in special boots from the veterinarian, of course, under veterinarian care that entire time. But once yeah. we got past that, like 8 weeks after we got past all of the things, the vet was like, okay, we can take her out of her special boots and we'll unscrew those and you know, have the farrier come out and you're good to go. Well, okay. we weren't good to go, unfortunately. So the farrier came out, put her shoes on. She was still off. Wasn't sound at all.
And had she had any hoof or soundness issues prior to that?
A little bit, which we already knew. She had navicular. She's a quarter horse, and you know, and she has teeny tiny feet and a big 1,200 pound body.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for her breeding, but she's pretty, so we keep her around. So with her being on stall rest and her feet being in special boots, they weren't allowed to expand or contract. They contracted quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
So she came out of them with severely contracted heels.
Ooh.
She was very sore on all four feet. We continued to do x-rays. There was no rotation. Thank goodness there was no rotation on any hoof. But she just continued to not be 100%. So that led me down a path of solving the problem. Like, what is the problem? Because I had one farrier come out. He did his thing. He'd been our farrier for a long time. And then he decided to retire. So then I got a different gal coming out. And the vet came out at the same time. They put together a package three different times. And Libby just continuously was still uncomfortable.
Ugh.
So I continued down this path of, what is going on with my horse? Why isn't this working? Like, the professionals are doing the best that they can, and what's going on? So I revamped her entire diet, low sugar, low starch, everything. So she's on 10% low sugar, low starch. She's on the Sanfoin pellets, which I am so grateful that way you started carrying those.
Yeah,
I love those.
People just rave about it.
100 absolutely recommend that to every customer if you're looking for something. If you're looking for a hay pellet, Sanfoin is your go-to, or my go-to. So revamped her entire diet. And then I just started digging into, like, what's going on. Like, you know, I'm a fairly intelligent individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's figure this out. So I started reading books, watching videos, listening to other podcasts. I'm a huge podcast fan. So listening to as many podcasts on hooves as I could find, reading the books that vets were recommending and that people were recommending. And so now I am doing my own trimming. I do my own glue on shoes.
Wow.
Thank you, Easy Care, for providing those things. Those are fantastic for those of us that want to do those for our horses. So polyurethane shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually 3D print my pads and inserts for my
shoes.
Oh
my gosh. So you are the hoof care from start to finish.
I am. She is 100% reliant on me.
And how is she doing now?
She is doing really well, actually. I have, you know, learning about horses is a lifelong thing. It's a journey. And so I continue to learn from everybody I come in contact with as far as like hooves go, hoof care providers, hoof care professionals. So everything that we do, I just tweak it a little bit. And that's the great thing about hooves is what you have today, you are not going to have the same hoof in a year.
True.
It's going
to
grow out.
They take a while to grow out, but it's worth the effort.
It absolutely is. So that's one of the things that I love about it, and it's very challenging, that you have to continue to tweak it. And what works 6 weeks ago may not work right now. Mm-hmm. And you have to also consider the changing of the seasons. So
sure,
as
this
we,
whole episode was about like winter health and barn prep and things like that. So do you have like top tips or things that you keep in mind going into winter, knowing that Libby's had some stuff? All right.
Yes.
Hit us with it.
Yes. Okay. So for Libby, one of her triggers for like a laminitic flare up is huge weather changes. And I'm in Eastern Tennessee.
Sure. There's weather changes.
We can have roller coaster weather changes.
Yeah.
But for her, like a 20 to 30 degree temperature change in a 12 hour period is really wreaks havoc for her system.
Ooh, okay.
So if I know that's coming, I will wrap her legs. All four legs I use the Smart Therapy Nobo wraps.
Oh, yep. Love those.
I love those so much. I use the Smart Therapy Nobo wraps. We'll wrap all four of her legs to keep her lower extremities warm and keep circulation going to her feet, because that seems to be a trigger for her when she has to keep her body warm. Because she is an aged mare, don't tell her I said that.
She'll never know.
No, can't tell her that. I tend to try to make sure that she has enough warmth in her body so she doesn't have, so her body doesn't have to restrict the blood flow to her extremities.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping her clothed head to toe is important for her. The other thing is, as we get into winter seasons and wet, muddy, gross conditions, at least in Eastern Tennessee, we will, making sure that she has hoof protection, not only from like a shoe standpoint, so, or a boot, like cloud boots or Cavallo boots, but also interior. So protecting her feet, the health of her feet with, I love Red Horse products. So Artemud, Field Paste, I love the Soul Cleanse, because you can spray that even under the shoe. You can spray it to get it into the crevices. I absolutely 100% Red Horse products. You can't go wrong with Artemud or Field Paste. So keeping the thrush at bay, keeping all the bacteria, because unfortunately thrush can be extremely damaging and actually go in and eat the bone. So, yeah,
and it's super persistent if you're not on top of it consistently.
Absolutely. So it's one of those things like, have you cleaned your horse's feet today? I don't know. Did I?
Yeah. Making that like not only part of your routine, but maybe one of the first parts of your routine.
Yeah. Well, you know, during the summertime, it's after you, spray the fly spray. But during the wintertime, you know, making sure you get all the frozen things out of your horse's hoof, because that's uncomfortable for them to walk on.
Yeah. And Randy, we talked about Libby's supplement program. We've talked about her hoof care and all the cool things that you've done and learned. Is she on any additional hoof support as well? Or are you able to maintain her hoof health with the care routine that you've put in place?
I'm able to maintain her care routine and with the rest of her nutrition. I do use Feed XL.
Oh, great program.
Yes. I use Feed XL to balance her diet. And with the season changing and hay changes, you know, I highly recommend getting your hay tested. Equa Analytics can do that for you at a minimal cost. You know, get your hay tested and analyze and balance your horse's diet. Some horses will need extra copper and zinc, and Smart Equine happens to make some extra copper and zinc if
How
you need
convenient.
It. Yes.
But I think there's something really cool to be said for that like Libby has known hoof health issues. You have been able to balance her diet through FeedXL, which for anybody who has not tried it out before, it's feedxl.com. Super cool. Takes everything into account for your horse's diet. But you've been able to balance her diet to such a place that you actually don't need to add extra support. And like coming from somebody who works from a supplement company, that's really cool that your horse doesn't need the extra support because you've been able to do so much with her just day-to-day nutrition. Like, what a cool shout to all the time and work and care that you've put into that.
Thank you, Jenna. Yeah, it's been a labor of love.
It always is with horses, isn't it? There's no like labor of ease because it's there's no such thing.
No, it's always a labor of love. Blood, sweat, tears, all the things.
Always. And so you and I could talk about this forever, and we probably will want to have you back in the spring to talk more about what you do in other seasons for hoof health. But before we go on for too long, I want to kind of wrap it up on, you said that you had, you know, you'd looked at videos and podcasts and things like that. Are there like a top three places that you started when you were, you know, researching hoof health, or just top three that you would recommend in general as far as podcasts or websites or books that we can shout out to anybody else who's wanting to also learn more about either barefoot trimming or the shoeing that you do, or just hoof health in general?
Absolutely. So the first podcast that I came across was Alicia Harlov's The Humble Hoof podcast.
Oh, cool. Yep. Great one.
And she has a slew of guests on the podcast that have been instrumental, I feel like, in like my journey with hoof care. Wendy Murdoch has webinars with Wendy on YouTube, and from there was introduced to Dr. Bowker. And Dr. Bowker has done a millions of years, it feels like, of research on navicular and barefoot trimming and navicular care.
So and a then very from true a, expert in all the ways.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
very cool.
With the DR in his name. Like, yeah. That's a real thing. Oh. And from a book standpoint, it is The Essential Hoof Book, The Complete Modern Guide to Horse Feet Anatomy Care and Health. And I got that one off of Amazon. So that one is also a must have in every book collection.
Perfect. That's so cool. That's so helpful. And we're going to have those linked out in the show notes too. So if anybody's like, wait, I want to know more about that, we're going to make sure that we have that available for you because more knowledge is always better. But Randy, thank you so much. Like, I would love to ask you 1,000 more questions about everything, but I know we got to keep it tight. But truly, thank you. Your journey with Libby and hoof health and horse care is just, I don't know, it's really inspiring, like the levels that you went to and the depth of knowledge that you pursued just to make sure that, you know, the love of your life, your mare, was as comfortable as possible is really, really cool. And it's such a great reminder of what we do and why we do it. And it's all for the horse, right?
It is. It's all for the horse. Amen.
Well, thank you again, Randy. It was so great having you on. I hope we get to have you again sometime very soon. And I'll let you say your own goodbye here.
Well, thank you, Jenna. Thanks for having me. Thank you all for listening. We greatly appreciate you attending our podcast. But let us know if you have any questions. I'm sure Jenna has a way to get those answered for you.
Absolutely. And for anybody who's looking to talk horse health or hoof health specifically, make sure to call in and ask for Randy. And we're back for our giveaway. Last week for episode 6, we gave away a very handy cooler bag and a gift card, and I'm excited to say that Marissa from Connecticut, you were our big winner. Congrats. And if you haven't already seen an email in your inbox from me, you should very shortly. Now, for episode 7, which is this one, we've got a travel blanket, which is perfect for your car or your tack trunk as we head into the winter months, plus another $25 Smart Equine gift card. You can enter to win by clicking or tapping on the link in the podcast description, and that will take you directly to the giveaway form, or you can get there yourself by going to www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. Entries close 1 week after this episode airs, which means you have until November 22nd. So go ahead and get entered, share your feedback, and fingers crossed.
You can find links to today's guests and products in the show notes on your podcast player or on the website at www.smartequine.com/blog.
As a reminder, we are here twice a month on the 15th and 30th, but in between, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Smart Equine or shop online at smartequine.com. And one more time as a plug, if you do have any questions or if there's anything we should be talking about for our next episode, feel free to put it into that giveaway form like we mentioned before or find us in the comments anywhere else. Until next time, stay smart, stay warm,
and give your horse a cookie for us.